but it is on your paper, but I think it's good for you to open them at the main text that we'll be from today. Title of the message, Faith versus Fear. And let's look at this. In fact, look at your paper and let's read all three of these accounts. I remind you, the Bible's glorious in that it will give us different angles of the same story so that we get a greater breadth and understanding of that story, and it is truly helpful. Let's read each of these sections, and you'll see some repetitive information, but you'll also see some nuances as well. Matthew 8, verse 23 says this, "And when he, Jesus, was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he, Jesus, was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Let's look at a second account in Mark chapter 4. Verse 35 says, And the same day when the even was come, so this helps us understand the time of the day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. This is the Sea of Galilee, by the way, which is not an impressive, you know, the Sea of Galilee, you know. It's kind of like, you can stand on one side and you can say, oh, there's the other side. And so it is not this overwhelming body of water. But when storms come through, they call it the abyss. And the size ships that they would have at this time would make it extremely dangerous. You would never want to be in the waters, particularly in the midst of the waters. And when you understand that, I've been on the Sea of Galilee and it's tranquil, right? And it's like, this is it. But it is, when there's a storm, it's pretty rough. And you think of all the stories, and I'll finish it reading here in a second. Think of all the stories. Remember when the disciples got in the boat to go to the other side, and they're toiling all night. And I'm like, it must have been some storm. Or Jesus was just told in the boat and not letting them get to the other side. But then Jesus walked on the water. That's when he did that. So, not an impressive body of water per se, but a deadly body of water. Let's start verse 35 again. And the same day when even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. A little bit more information. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he, Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And then the third account in Luke, beginning with verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. Again, title of the message this morning, just simply faith versus fear. I tell you this often, but I think it's always good to be reminded. The Bible is primarily written to believers. The Bible is primarily written to those that have truly put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. This message, this passage, I think, would be to those that have their faith in Jesus Christ. But I want you to know, after this morning's Sunday school message, right? And it was good because there is a God to fear. And we've got to make sure there is a God to fear, and He cares about the details. He's so merciful, and He's so long-suffering, and He's so gracious, we misunderstand Him. But I tell you this morning, that you can follow the Bible. And if your faith isn't in the person of Jesus Christ, it will benefit you nothing eternally. I say this all the time. If you follow the principles of the Bible, the teaching of the Bible, you'll benefit. You'll benefit because, you know, I mean, monogamy in marriage, one man, one woman, is the best way to be married. It's God's way. All the statistics will prove that. Being faithful and dedicated to one spouse is the best way. And so if you follow the principles of marriage in the Bible, your life will be better. If you follow some of the teachings of the Bible that do unto others as you would have them do unto you, that's Bible. You'll benefit. If you're kind to people, you'll benefit. But none of you are going to go to heaven because you're kind. None of you are going to go to heaven because you are dedicated to your spouse. None of us will. Because of sin. Because of sin. The question that I tell you all the time that we all have to answer is, how are you going to get rid of your sin? That's why I love that song, It's the Blood of Jesus. Right? And I want you to rejoice. You see, the blood of Jesus was necessary for His death and for the washing away of our sins. And it was only Christ that can remove your sins. I want you to rejoice in that. I want you to enjoy that. I want it to be fresh every week that says, wow, how much Jesus loves you, what a privilege it is to be a Christian, and that we can be stirred by His love. This morning's message is going to primarily be to those who say, I love Jesus, because here's the issue. There is what is called, you know, what I'll say is initial faith in Christ. That is, you have truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Romans 10 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Personally, I do not believe you can have Him as Savior without Master. And so, of course, we continually surrender daily, not for salvation, but for His glory and honor. But you can't have Jesus, which that word means Savior, without having Him as Lord. That word means Master. He must be Master Savior. And so we do that for the rest of our life. But let me tell you this. Fear is what keeps true believers from doing what's right. Fear, I will tell you, the only fear the Bible speaks of well is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We learned this morning, right? When God gives instructions, it's a big deal. Be careful that you don't discount some of His commandments, but we try to honor Him in all things. Not that we become about rules, but that we want to examine this. Lord, you know, David said, you know, search me and try me. He wanted to know, how am I dishonoring you, God? That's really the heart of a true Christian. And so here's what happens. Fear is usually, when it's wrong, it's fear of man or fear of circumstances, and it leads to dishonor of God. And so you know that. You'll feel it in your heart. And so I want to look at this this morning. Let me just give you a few background thoughts. Fear caused Peter to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't want to be identified as a believer. And so the final way he proved to them that, no, I'm not a believer, the Bible says he cursed and swore. He was a sailor. He was good at it. And he said, I'll tell you this. I'll show you I'm not one of them. And he was terrified because he didn't want to have the same end that Jesus did. But later, Peter's faith in Christ grew. See, Peter was a believer. And he gave in to fear. And the Lord loved him nonetheless. Fear caused the Israelite camp to cower before Goliath. David, this young teenager, comes into the camp, and Goliath, you know, 10 feet tall or so, plus or minus, Goliath is there, you know, and I defy the God of the Israelites. And I mean, you have studs, you have the men, you know, and none of them would take up the challenge of Goliath because of fear. And David was accused of the naughtiness of his heart by his brother. But David had faith in God. And he says, you come with me with a sword and a spear. I come with you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. And David believed the Lord, right? And you better believe it. He had a skill with his stone and his sling, but God guided that rock. And it's faith in the Lord, opposite of fear. Fear caused Israel to wander in the wilderness 40 years. They were afraid of the giants in the land. And then they made the excuse, well, our children will be just squashed and swallowed up, and it's for our children's sake. And God said, well, your children are the ones that are going to go in. Fear took away great blessings of God rather than faith in the Lord. Fear leads to doubt. Fear leads to sin. Fear leads to dishonor of God. Our whole world has been struck with fear. COVID, right? And I'm not saying we shouldn't respond responsibly, and we shouldn't examine the circumstances, and we might have to do things differently. But I want to tell you this. We have to fight fear. God is in charge of the virus as much as he is my car driving down the road. I'm not advocating foolishness. I'm not. But I will tell you this, we need to fight fear so that we can have faith in the Lord, and when things are all falling apart around us, we can honor the Lord. So when we talk about faith versus fear, let me show you a few things this morning that are from this passage that really cause issues with us. It's getting caught up in the circumstances. It is, look at Matthew on your paper there, Matthew chapter 8, verse 24. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. Now, just for background, many of the apostles were fishermen. And so they were skilled in the art of fishing and in navigating the Sea of Galilee. This was their skill set. Right? Peter went a-fishing when he lost his hope in Christ of just what was going on. He went a-fishing. And so I want you to understand this. They were skilled, and that may be a problem, you see. What you have confidence in. See, there's a balance. There is, on the spectrum, it's probably faith, fear, and overconfidence. And the apostles probably were on the overconfident stage. This is our strength. This is what we're good at. And the Lord brought the tempest. But look at this in verse 24 of chapter 8. It says, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the sea was covered with the waves. It's almost, I haven't ever looked this up, but I've thought about it when I'm not around a computer. I want to see a storm on the Sea of Galilee. I've never been to Lake Erie either, but I've heard Lake Erie is like a death trap. If you get on Lake Erie and a storm, just picks up. And so maybe the Sea of Galilee is like the Lake Erie, where a storm picks up and, boy, you better get off the water. Look at Mark. You want to see the circumstances. Look at Mark. I think this is important. In the same day when the even was come. You know, it is, I'm just telling you, I like daytime better than nighttime. The Bible says men love darkness rather than light. But overall, I like daytime better than nighttime, right? Now, I am a scaredy cat. I was raised in, how many of you, just be honest, how many of you have a spooky basement? You have a spooky basement. You do have a spooky basement. And anybody else, a spooky basement? Spooky basement. And so, man, when I grew up, okay, and I had an older sister that liked to play games with my mind. And so we had this basement, long stairs, and then it had these corridors, right, that, you know, that looked like entrapments from a kid's perspective, right, if there was somebody evil down there. And so we had this old curtain that went into the utility room, and it was like I think it was a Pharaoh's curtain or something. It was super old, right? It just looked nasty. And so then the furnace was there, and the furnace always seemed to be running when I would open the basement door, and the curtain would be like moving. And my sister said, that's because somebody just went into the back room. And then when my parents bought the house, there was a walker, you know, and all this stuff, you know, and she said, they died here. You know, she told me all that stuff. And so I was terrified of our basement. And so I still don't like basements to this day, right? And I don't like the night. So I'm telling you this, the circumstances were it was nighttime. I want you to understand this. I want you to see this was a rough situation. And the Lord said, oh, ye of little faith. You have no faith, he said in one of the passages. And so he wants them to have faith. The Lord was working this because he was refining them and he was testing them, not tempting them to sin. And so, but look at verse 37 in Mark chapter 4. It says, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. Somehow full, but Jesus wasn't getting wet. I love thinking about the Lord, right? Because Jesus, he was asleep in the flesh. But he was reigning as King of Kings at the same time. So, you know, I envision it this way, and it wasn't. So, you know, he is overseeing this while he's sleeping. And it's fascinating to me, and he's got a plan. He's got a plan. I want you to look at Luke. Look at Luke in chapter 8. Look at verse 23. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water, and they were in jeopardy. So they were filled with water, and they were in jeopardy. So the Bible's honest. It was not looking good. Here's the issue. That's when fear comes up. When you begin to look at the circumstances, and the Lord gives us this story. If you read this story too quickly, you'll just race right through it. And I think it has great meaning and great application for you and I. The Lord was using these apostles to show us, and he was taking them first something that, oh, we can do this. I didn't see them pray before they got into the ship. I'm not saying they had to. But it looks like it might have been a good idea. And so, I'm encouraging you this. It would be a good idea when you venture out. Are you going alone? Or did you ask the Lord to come with you? You never want me to come into this pulpit until I consciously and specifically, and I'm not saying I have to do it every, I try to do it every time. I try to be very specific about it. I don't want us to get superstitious. You following me? I don't want us to become like, oh, lucky rabbit's foot. Be with me. That's not what I'm preaching, but I want us to go into things saying this. I can do nothing without him. I'm going to preach this morning unless he kills me. But I'm going to preach this morning. But if God's not with me, it will amount to nothing. It'll amount to nothing. I really sang that song. My drink is back on the back. Aaron, would you mind grabbing that? And I my cup that was... I didn't bring that, so this is the nasty cup that I get complaints of when I put it here. But anyway, but it is the Lord, he's taking them to this. Thank you very much. Did a research and they said the best thing for a scratchy throat is Diet Mountain Dew. That's why I drink so much of it. Just kidding. The kids will be like, Mom, Pastor said. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But the Lord brings this circumstance, so I want you to remember this, and I've got to remember this. You see, this is the most difficult part of life. Anybody have plans for today? That's not wrong. You have no idea what's going to happen today, and neither do I. They had no idea when they started in that boat that a tempest was about to come up, and a storm was about to come up, and the waves were about to come into the boat. The boat was going to be full, and Jesus was asleep. Circumstances can change that fast. What we have to do is let's stay conscious. Our first natural inclination will be fear. But what we must do is, by God's grace, we'll have a trigger that says this. Okay, Lord, what are we doing here? You know, Stephen, I hope I respond to my wife. So how old is Levi? It's more tough when they're over 50 and they lock their keys in their car. And it seems like it's when they're the furthest away, far away. But it hasn't happened in a long time. Is my wife in here? Oh, I messed up. I thought she was in the nursery. And that's a small thing compared to it, right? But it wasn't fear, but it could be irritation, all those things, right? And but the Lord, well, see, we got to be ready. I don't know your circumstances, and I pray, I'm not making light of your circumstances. We have people that are going through difficult circumstances. Keep your eyes on Christ. Fear is so normal. Fear is so natural. And the reason why we want to fight fear is I'm convinced it always leads to sin. And if you're a believer in here this morning, your heart's desire is to honor him. And if fear causes me to dishonor him, then I want to fight it. I want to fight it with all my might. So getting caught up in the circumstances. The second thing I want you to see is ignoring God's words or his plan. I could have said God's word, but I was specifically talking about the words of Jesus, right? So I want to tell you this, we ignore God's word. And so you need to know God's word. Look with me, if you will, look at Mark chapter 4, the first verse there. And the same day when the even was come, he saith to them, let us pass over into the other side. And so they needed to remember, you and I need to remember, he said, let's go over into the other side. And so if they could have just remembered the words of Jesus, Jesus said, let's go over to the other side. I'm going to trust he's going to get us over to the other side. There's some analogies there, is there not? It is this, when life just pulls the rug out from under you, and you're tempted to doubt God, and here's the key. Will you make it to the other side? It is only by Christ. See, the true gospel is what gets you in and what keeps you in. It's not you. I want you to understand that. It is, Jesus said, let us go over to the other side. And they needed to say, okay, that's God's plan. That's God's word. And there's going to be a whole lot of circumstances that I wasn't prepared for, but I'm going to keep my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because remember, fear leads to dishonor of God. Third thing I want you to see is not fully knowing God. Look at Mark chapter 4, verse 38. And he, Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Here's the first thing that'll come into your mind, and I'm telling you this, if anyone's been a Christian long enough, this is coming to, maybe not. It's coming to my mind. I think it comes into many Christians' mind. You wonder, does the Lord care? He says in 1 Peter 5:7, he says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. See, I remind myself of this all the time. I'm worried. I met a man that preached yesterday. He's in his 70s. And if you had asked me, out of the people that were in attendance at this conference, I didn't know this guy. And just met him at the conference. And if you'd have said, who is one of the happiest people in this room? I'd have said, that guy. I just spent some time with him, and he shared with me his physical condition. He almost couldn't finish preaching because his body wouldn't let him finish. He's falling apart. He's dying as he's speaking to me. The pain that he's in, he's had so much of the nerve endings of his spine burned. So they're just, all they're trying to do is they keep burning nerves just so he doesn't feel the pain. And yet what I saw from him is I was blown away because I don't know why. This guy, he was a fun guy, right? So when other guys were preaching, he would just join right in. Oh, and, you know, he was a fun guy. He was a fun guy. He was a happy guy. Because he didn't forget that the Lord cared for him. He was in miserable pain. I started paying attention. I didn't pay attention when I was preaching because most people are in pain when I preach. And it might be difficult. That was a joke, right? But I watched one sermon went a little long, and so only because of the schedule. And I looked up and I saw his wife. She just kind of rubbed his back. He was struggling. he said, well, I can't take any medicine now because he's on morphine constantly. He says, I can't take it before I preach. He said, I wouldn't remember what I said. And he said, it wouldn't be good. I looked at him and I thought, so I got him aside and I said, you know, and it wasn't some great epiphany that he gave me. And I said, how do you do it? What is your interaction with the Lord? I mean, you know, I don't know what's going to happen in the next 10 years. I said, you know, and so it wasn't like he gave me this, well, he said, well, I'll tell you this, just pray. And pray. And pray. You know what I loved about him, though? He didn't say this, and keep serving. He didn't quit. Because I know this, when fear comes into your life, you know one of the first things you want to do? Quit. Right? And one of the first things they said is, Lord, cares thou not for us? I want you to remember this. Jesus cares for you. And never forget that. There's going to be days, weeks, months, maybe years, and that's what breaks my heart. I can't empathize. I'm a silver spoon Christian. I haven't had these long-term difficulties. My heart goes out to folks like him and others in our own congregation. But I beg you, remember the Lord does care for you. And don't let fear come in. Second thing I want you to see is thinking we need to bring a problem to God's attention. Look at Luke chapter 8, verse 24. And they came to him and awoke him. Master, master, we perish. Now God loves to hear our problems, okay? I'm not saying this, but I'll tell you this. You don't need to tell him what's going on, but you just need to speak your heart. Master, master, we perish. And I this is important to me because, you know, we read the scriptures in prayer and he says, you receive not because you ask not. And but I want to tell you this. I receive a ton when I don't ask. Do you? That's the goodness of God. He wants us to be engaged. He wants us to ask, but I don't want you to worry. Well, I didn't ask. Well, you know what? He's so good. He's a better father than any of your fathers. Your fathers, you know, not all of them, but generally, fathers will bless their children and be kind to their children, and not always. And that's why he says, you know, if you fathers that are evil can give good gifts, I'm way better. And you didn't always have to ask your dad, did you? And when you become a teenager, you seem to ask more. Hey, I am realizing this. I have a need, and it is green. And I need a lot of it, Dad. And that's when we say, well, let's turn to Genesis chapter 3. The Lord said you will work by the sweat of your brow. And then you teach him a little work ethic, right? But I want you to understand this is God knows your situation. I want you to talk to him about it, but I don't want you to worry about it that he was busy. He knows your situation. Now, this is crazy. This is the apostles. I think they didn't know this. And then forgetting that God is in charge of all, right? I mean, they were blown away, and I want to tell you, we serve the same Lord. I mean, they were blown away, and I marvel at it as well. When he rebukes, let's get the right words. Look at Luke, Mark chapter 4, verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. Again, I always say this. I can't wait to see the heavenly DVR or the DVD or the whatever the latest technology is. And God's is way better. And, you know, just boom. Peace be still. I don't think it was. I think it was. Okay. That's our God. So this is comforting. When the winds don't stop and when the waves don't stop, it's not because he couldn't. It is hard, is it not? In this instance, he was showing them, I can and I will, and he did. But he doesn't always. Will we continue to trust in him? Will we continue to serve him? Will we continue to honor him? Or will we do what fear does a lot? Will we quit? You know, the Bible teaches that a true believer can't quit permanently. But we can try, can't we? We can try to say, I'm done. I'm done. I love Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, I'm tired of it. I will not speak anymore in his name. Burning in his heart where he had to speak. That's a sign of a true believer. I want you to understand this, how much God cares. And then the final thought I just want to show you is we forget how fear spreads. I think in verse 36 of Mark chapter 4, it's just a little thing, but look at this. He says, and when they had sent away the multitude, it says, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. I'm already imagining that they're in a little ship. And so I'm imagining smaller ships than the one he had. I'm imagining it's more difficult. But you see, I want you to understand this. Seth, you have other little ships around you. Randall, other little ships. What are we teaching our kids? As a pastor, I have other little ships. What are we teaching our church? What are we teaching our grandkids? It was a beautiful scene yesterday. A man I didn't know either was preaching, and he brought his 13-year-old granddaughter with him. And I was imagining Elia in 12 and a half years. And if God's kind and he allows her papaw to still be alive. Oh. And she looked like she was enjoying it. She was happy to be with her papaw. Other little ships. You see, I want you to know this. Our motivation. Clay, your motivation has to be the Lord Jesus Christ. But he gives us other little ships. And I want you to understand this. It doesn't have to be children. Every single person in here, you have other little ships in your life. Every child in here. Madison, you have other little ships. You know what I'm talking about? People that are around you that if you glorify the Lord, you will make a difference in their lives. But if we fear and we fret and we don't show the joy of the Lord, then we will affect them as well. Life is hard. Life is difficult. But you have other little ships. You see, I don't want us just to limit it in this vein. You see, fear versus faith, which will we have? And see, we've got to be ready because circumstances change in a heartbeat. Life changes in a heartbeat. Let me tell you, this is why it's important. It's important for you and I to be people of the book, to know the Bible, to know God, so that we know God, and when things happen, we can go back and say, I know he cares for me. I have no idea what's going on, but I know he cares for me. I know that he can change this if he wants. Right now, he's not changing this. I will tell you, when you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, and this conference was based on, it was a Christ-centered conference, so it was all about Jesus Christ. It was all about his last week. And so when you see this, it was that Jesus, he kept his eyes on the Father, and he never took his eyes off the Father, and he said, I'm here to do the will of the Father. If you and I could have that, and we have that steadfast look, why am I here? Why am I here? Talking to Jacob, and he had a friend ask him, what an awesome, this was the Lord. You're going to see the Lord in it when I tell you the question. She said, what's your purpose for living? It's like, that's a gift of God. Right? It is, what's my purpose for living? And I loved it. He said this. He said, let me get back to you because I want to pause and make sure I give it to you with great clarity. Not his words, you know, however Jacob would speak, right? Great clarity. And so I loved it. That was God blessing you. And I love that you said, you know, I just want to make sure. Why am I here? What am I doing? That's a little ship. God's given you a little ship that he's given you the privilege. It is a little daunting, isn't it? That how I respond will affect many. It's why the Lord says, be not many masters, be not many teachers, for they shall receive the greater condemnation. I will be held more accountable. I think that's a little bit why Moses was too, right? It was not harsh. It was so appropriate. God's not a respecter of persons. But he's almost the flip. I'll hold you more accountable when you have more responsibility. Justly so, right? I want to ask you this morning, maybe you just leave and you say, oh, Lord, help me, that I will put aside these circumstances and I will trust in you. And it ought to bring you to your knees more. I need to talk to you about it more. I need to trust you more. I need to have your peace. I need to have your love. And oh Lord, I don't want you to look at me and said, oh ye that have no faith. I hope the result of the message this morning is twofold. One, if you're lost, are you truly saved? Your life will be different. And if you're struggling, I don't know what the circumstances are. It could be the widest spectrum. I want you to put your faith and trust in God. Faith versus fear. Let's pray.